Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning, and looking forward to a good day in the Lord, I trust. It's good to have Jim here, and his arm, hands, wrist is healing up. It's good to see John and Wanda here. Wanda is here. I realize John's up front here, but Wanda is here. She's coming, I'm sure. And good to have their friend with them as well, and good to see everyone else to be here. So, we'll open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get back into what is turning out to be a study in the book of Proverbs, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after prayer. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee. We thank You for Your goodness and blessings upon us. Thank You for this opportunity that we have to open up Your word, to look at the truths that You have, Father, for us in the book of Proverbs. Help us to see them become a part of our lives, to live by the principles and truths that are here, so that we may bring honor and glory to You and You alone in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I had not anticipated, I wasn't planning on having many studies on the book of Proverbs, but it has turned out that way. I've been working on a series for our Sunday school hour that is taking a little more time than I was anticipating to get it together and work on it. It'll be at least a year as we go through this. I've got 52 lessons, and of course, we all know how well our lessons fit within that fastest 45 minutes of the week, so it may go stretch out longer, but hope springs eternal. Maybe we can get through each one each time, and it'd be good to go. But that's coming up, and as I've looked at our schedule going forward, because of the various things that we have going on, I thought, well, I'll keep Proverbs until we get through with the Dr. Carl Herbster's conference. So we will start this at the end of April. That seems a little far off, but when I was looking at the calendar of when I could do this, it's like, that's going to be the quickest, I think, the best way, instead of a start and stop with our activities for Sunday coming up as they are. We will not, and I'll mention this again in the morning hour, on April 5th is our resurrection service day. And, of course, we usually meet out at Lakeside for a sunrise service. And we could probably put that sunrise in quotes, because by the time we meet, the sun will have been up for a while. But we have our sunrise service, then we come back for breakfast here. And this year we're doing something a little different to ease, I think, some of that pressure. We will not have our Sunday school hour. Our times will be normal. We'll be here for breakfast at 8:30. But instead of trying to rush through that 8:30 to 9:30, getting our breakfast done, getting it cleaned up, and then getting in here for Sunday school, was talking with someone, and we thought, well, let's just pull that Sunday school hour out and cause us to relax a little bit more, instead of knowing that we've got to rush through this, get our eating done, and not really enjoy that time together around a table to enjoy fellowship with one with another. So for our sunrise services, our Resurrection Sunday, we will not have our Sunday school hour, and just be able to relax a little bit more before we come in for the normal morning service at 10:30. So so there's a Sunday that's no Sunday school. Then we come back and have one Sunday on the 12th, and then the 19th starts the Herbster meeting. So I thought, well, if I do this, and we start and then we stop, then we start, then we stop. And I thought, let's just wait until we get done with some of these start and stops, and then we can start and keep going. So we'll start that new series at the end of April. And if anything's like the last few months, it'll be here before we know it. It's hard to believe we're past the middle of March already. But here we are. So we'll be looking at Proverbs now for these next few Sundays that I have, those hit and misses until the end of April. So we were back. We were looking at last week Proverbs, knowledge and instruction, the building blocks for life. And we had touched on our first point, knowledge is awareness of part of God's truth. And we worked our way through those, noting all knowledge derives from and depends upon God. Much knowledge is best understood by believers. And then spiritual knowledge strengthens faith and godly living. And we'll move on to our second main point, and I trust we'll get it and the third one today. Knowledge is beneficial and valuable. And again, for those that haven't been here, the outline comes from a book by Donald Orthner. He did this back in the late 80s. It's called Wellsprings of Life. And what he did as a family, it was a family unit back then, kind of pre-computer days, they had taken and had all the verses of Proverbs, a verse at a time. And they spread them out on their ping pong table and then grouped them according to topics and things, and came up with this book, with this outline within this book. And so this is where it's coming from. It's not original with me. It's taken from his outline, if you will, his grouping of the Proverbs to help kind of digest, in a sense, the book of Proverbs. And it's been, to me, it's been very beneficial to have in my library and look it over at times or two and use it for things like this, for teaching, instruction in the book of Proverbs. It's a nice way to look at it as well as reading through it as we do in the Bible schedule once a month. But as we look at this, knowledge is beneficial and profitable. And we noted last week there are three words that we find in the Hebrew for the word knowledge. And we looked at one last week, touched on it, that is a general term for knowledge, particularly that which is of a personal experimental nature. And it is also used for technical knowledge or ability such as needed for the building of the tabernacle and temple. So obviously they use this word back in those passages that speak of the construction of it. We'll look at another one today, which is a root word for that word, if you will. But it's the root word. But as we look at knowledge as beneficial and valuable, somebody can find, if you will, and read for us Proverbs 28, verse 2. And while someone searches for that, I'll read verse 5 of chapter 24, as he notes, as we look at this, knowledge is beneficial and valuable. How is it beneficial and valuable? For competence and authority. And Solomon writes in chapter 24, verse 5, he says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of understanding increases strength. Now, do you think Solomon is speaking about physical strength? I don't think so. That's why there are still gyms around that have dumbbells and barbells and all sorts of physical strengthening equipment. It's not, well, I can do away with the gym and I'll just work on gaining knowledge and I'll bulk up. That's not going to happen. Yes, he's not talking about our physical strength, but he does note a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. We gain a better grasp of the truths of God's word as we look at this from a biblical, godly perspective. Our wise man, that man that is increasing in strength, is because of the knowledge that he's gaining from the word of God. Can we think back to when we first trusted Christ? Did we consider ourselves a day after trusting Christ that we were particularly strong as a Christian, as a believer, as someone who knew Christ as our Savior? I see the heads going horizontally. No, and it's typically true. We don't, especially if we've not had a church biblical background prior to that. We can feel weak, to use this terminology here that we're using. And so that wise man is strong. Let's bring this a little bit forward, a little bit more. Is that wise man boastful in his knowledge? I think they're mutually exclusive. If you're a wise man, you're not going to be boastful. We see that throughout the book of Proverbs a lot. The wise man is going to be a humble man. He's not going to be touting it as, you need to come to me because I'm the fountain of knowledge, so you need to come see me because I know I've arrived, I've got all this. So as we consider this and not put into our mind things that shouldn't be there, but that wise man is strong, a man of knowledge increases strength, it's a knowledge of the book, it's a knowledge of our God, which to me continues to keep us humble. We continue to see, I believe, the smallness of who we are in the light of our God, whom we are learning more about. Because those unsearchable riches of God that he speaks of, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and they're unfathomable, I think the more we dig into that, and God exposes us to his truth, to his wisdom, his knowledge, we really find out how little we really know, how little we really are. So it does us good to realize that, and I think we do, as we delve into the Word of God and become that wise man, to be a man of knowledge. Who has 28 verse 2? Okay, John.
By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man who understands, who knows, it endures. So it endures.
Okay. So we have this note here. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, and I'm reading the King James, John's reading a different version, the knowledge of the state thereof shall be prolonged. But again, he's touching on the man of understanding and knowledge and looking at this kind of, if we say, politically speaking, talking about a land, a country, shall be prolonged. We have other verses that we could put with that, but I don't want to sideline and go off on a tangent here, but our word knowledge that we've looked at in these two verses, again, is the root word to our other word that we had last week. To know, to perceive, knowledge gained by the senses. And again, this is the root of the word that we first used for knowledge above. But, you know, again, to know, to perceive, to gain by the senses, that which we, in one sense, learn somewhat by experience. In this case, as we open up this book, as we read the Word of God, we gain knowledge and understanding in what God has for us. Because if we don't open this book and we don't read it, we don't hear it, it doesn't come through our ear gates or our eye gates, are we going to be able to learn what God has for us, what He wants us to know? We're not. Again, you know, osmosis does not work with this book. You can't stick your head on this book at night and think that somehow its words, the truths that are there, are going to work their way through your skull and get into your brain and get into your heart and help you. It's just not going to work. It's got to come through the eyes. It's got to come through the ears to get on the inside of us. And so he notes this, that it's for a competence and authority that we find ourselves better off. And because we do start to have a better understanding then, not only of our God, but also what our God expects of us and how we should live for him. Because again, that didn't come the moment we trusted Christ. Did we become a new life in Christ? That moment we believed, yes. And in a sense, we are complete in Him. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Just like that infant, that baby who's born into this world, it's a baby, but is it complete in one sense? Yes, it is in one sense. It's complete. It's got everything it needs, he or she needs, to become an adult. You know, there, we don't go back to the factory and pick up something that we didn't get when we were born. We come back, okay, it's 5 years. Now it's time to go back to the factory and get an upgrade and then go back out in 10 years. Okay, got to go back to the factory, get another upgrade. No, we have everything we need there. And God wonderfully made us to do that. I mean, to me, that's amazing. Whether it be a plant, whether it be animals, us, the fact that the birth, even though it's small, even though it's, you know, all of that, and for us as people, needful by for others, it's complete. There's nothing more that needs to be added to it. And it grows. It matures. And we have that, yes. But in order for it to grow and mature, what does that baby need? Nourishment. Well, again, Christ, God uses that picture often, particularly in the New Testament, for us. Well, that holds true in our spiritual life as well. We are a new life in Him. And that new life is mutually exclusive from the old life. You can't feed off the old life to grow the new life. The new life takes different nourishment, if you will, in order for us to grow. And so that's where, again, the Word of God comes in. It is the bread of life. It is the water of life that helps us to grow, to mature, to be all that God would have us to be. And so we have this growing and this knowledge to increase. And he brings it out, I believe, in this passage to remind us on a greater scale. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And noting the benefit, if you will, of a nation, whether it be Israel specifically, since we're dealing with the book of Proverbs and Solomon, or whether we take this same principle and bring it to our nation, the principle still holds true. The transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. As we look at our landscape in America, does that hold true? There are a lot of people involved that are guilty of the transgression we have as a nation. But he notes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. I think all of us, or not all of us, most of us, I've got Jonathan over here, most of us have been through many presidents. Have we seen what the effect of a good president, just one individual, has done for our nation? Have we seen what a bad president has done for our nation? And usually he tends to have a lot of accomplices. But we see this principle bear out. We've watched it. As we have looked at our history since we can remember back when, and see the ups and downs of our nation based on the principle that Solomon is putting here. And so it behooves us to realize we need to live accordingly. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You say, well, I'm not the president. I realize I'm using that as the picture here, but it's amazing what one man can do, or one lady. when we're willing to take in the truths of God's word and then live it. I mean, we've seen within the last, you know, it's not even 2 years yet since President Trump came in, but, and I'm not touting President Trump, but as we look at the shift in our nation, we could look and say, well, Charlie Kirk had something to do with that. I would say there's some truth to that. Some truth to Trump coming back in. And these are just one individual, not necessarily completely godly like we would think of, but they are men who have sought to be on the right track. And we've seen the change that has taken place. Now, it doesn't mean the other side, the transgression of the land, and those that seek to do that. It doesn't mean that they've been eliminated, because we know that they're not. But the fact that these have stood up and spoken, and people have responded, it's put that at bay. It's pushed that off to the side for the moment. But I think, again, we all could look and say, well, yes, that's kind of how it's been through the course of history. Righteousness, if you will, godliness stands up and it dispels the darkness, because that's what light does. But as we become weak, the darkness invades. And you can see that happen we've got dimmer switches on our lights. If we start dimming the lights, what happens? It gets darker. The darkness starts to invade. But as we have the lights brighter, it dispels the darkness. And so we see that principle, noted here, and we see it, expressed elsewhere. But we see that it's beneficial for our competence and authority. Point two, for satisfaction and enjoyment. It's amazing what we have when we learn the Word of God, know the Word of God, experience it. We do have satisfaction and enjoyment. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15 says, "There is gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." There is gold and a multitude of rubies. Personal wealth. You see that all over. People are going after these kinds of things. But he does a contrast here. There is gold and a multitude of rubies. There's physical wealth, material wealth. But he contrasts that and he says, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. You have the knowledge of the Word of God. You have the knowledge of God. Solomon is reminding us that's far more precious, that's far more valuable than having gold and rubies. Why is that?
It's eternal.
Yeah, it's eternal. When we pass from this life, the wealth that we've accumulated, what happens to it?
It goes to somebody else.
Yeah, it goes to somebody else. And the scriptures speak of that. It's nothing wrong with doing that in the right understanding of things. But note, when we pass, it's not going with us. You may tell your wife, "I need all my money with me." Wives, just write a check and put it on the chest. Close up the casket. You satisfied him. He's not taking it with him. But if we have knowledge, yes, that's eternal. And that does us far more good than those things, as good as they are for us for certain things. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Far better to have the knowledge of God to live in the light of his word than these other things. Chapter 24, verse 4, he says, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, it's interesting. He just note that there is gold and multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. But then he kind of flips it on us and notes, he says, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By the knowledge of God, knowing his truths, living in the light of his word, God will take care of us. We're his children. He reminds us in the New Testament, you're worth many sparrows. You're worth more than sparrows. And he reminds us, as Christ does in Matthew chapter 6, he gives us a long thing. People are concerned about the everyday things, and God says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, food, clothing, that he had spoken about, said, the birds, do they have barns? Nope. But Christ said, I take care of them. They're fed. They're taken care of. Flowers of the field, do they spin and make their clothing? Nope. But I take care of them. I'll take care of you. Because you're my child. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's not a catch to it, but there's a condition to it. We need to live right spiritually, and God will take care of our physical needs. It seems counterintuitive. We would think, well, I need to take care of the spiritual needs because I'm the one here in this physical realm. I'm in this world. I should take care of those, and God should take care of the spiritual because he's the one that does take care of the spiritual. And yet he flips it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to put ourselves in that place where, yes, God does mature us. We don't mature ourselves. God makes us more spiritual. I can't make myself more spiritual. I can't make you more spiritual. But we need to put ourselves in that place where God can do that in us. We need to be willing for him to use his word in our hearts and our minds and not say, you know what? No, I'm not interested. I'm going to close off on this. And we miss out. And so we note that as we make ourselves willing, reading the word of God, open to the truths that are here, when God does step on our toes to get our attention, the human response is no. But then God steps on our toes again because he knows what's best for us. And he will keep stepping on the toes until we're willing to say, okay, Lord, yes, this is true. I need to stop that. I need to change this. You know, whatever the truth is that God's trying to get across to us that we've been contrary to say, yes, Lord, you're right. I do accept this. This does need to change in my life. And we go forward with that, and we find that we're blessed that way. It's far better to do it God's way than to try to do it our way. And so he notes that for our satisfaction and our enjoyment, chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. And so Solomon brings us to that, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Solomon's encouraging again his son, go this way. Bow down thine ear, open it up, allow God to speak to you. Be open to his working in your life. Apply your heart to his knowledge, and you'll find that you're blessed. And I think we all could say that, yes, I've seen that exemplified in my life. I have taken that step, and then I've seen how God used his word to bless and encourage me, to move me forward in a way that I wasn't seeing in my own strength, though I may have been trying. But when I realized that I needed to rely on the Lord, to trust him, then I saw the doors open. Then it worked. Because yes, we were doing it God's way, not our way. It's also for protection and security as we look at these benefits. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Then he will go on to speak about what it keeps you from and the like. But he notes, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. We, again, have these blessed truths, these principles that as we do this, God's going to take care of us. And it is amazing at times to me how as we do this, God does watch over us. And he keeps us from certain calamities that we normally would do under normal human circumstances. But because we've turned to the Lord, we've turned to his word, we've allowed it to come in and saturate us and learn those truths, now we do things a little different because we're seeking God in his way instead of ours. And we find that God took care of us in a way that we knew before we would have fallen. But because we relied on him and his truths, we didn't fall. We were spared because God takes care of us. And Proverbs 11, verse 9. Another one of these contrast verses here. Chapter 11, verse 9, he says, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. True statement. The hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. It's amazing what a rumor can do. The destruction that it can leave in its wake. That is, by and large, irreparable. Truth seemingly never runs as fast as a rumor does. We can go back and seek to set the truth, but that rumor just... and trying to find where all that rumor went for the truth to follow it, it's difficult. So we see these things happen. It says, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. It is amazing, even in the midst of those rumors, as the truth gets out through knowledge, we are delivered. God will, again, take care of his children when we trust in him, when we follow him. It doesn't mean that we'll necessarily be vindicated. Notice he doesn't say that here. Now that's what we immediately want. The hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. We're that neighbor. We've had the wrong done to us. Yes, it is a natural human inclination. I want retribution. I want revenge. I want this, you know, removed, repealed, excoriated, removed, so that there's no hint of it anymore, because this was all wrong. He doesn't give us that truth. He never does anywhere in the scriptures, but he does know, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. God's justice will come, just not necessarily in our timing, but his justice will come. We see that in the scriptures. It'll come in his timing. But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. We may have been wrong, but the just will be delivered. Those that are wanting to know the truth will find the truth, will hear the truth, and will know. Will that cover everybody? Not necessarily. But the just will be delivered. God gives us that principle, that truth. Whether it happens in this life, we would think that's great, but we will in the next. As John reminds us in the book of Revelation, when the books are opened, everything becomes manifest. And all those bad things and good things are going to be reckoned, taken care of. And God's justice will be done completely, fully, and far better than anything that we could have come up with. And so we, in one sense, have to wait, but rest secure in knowing that God's taking care of us in the meantime. Point three, and we've got just a few minutes to go here. Oh. Yeah, we will continue this on in the next week as well. I thought we only had 3 points, but I've got two more to go. We have 5 points here. The wise person continually increases his knowledge. Why? Because he's eager to learn. What a joy to you. I know it has been for me. That as we have lived the Christian life that God's given to us, we continue to be eager to learn. In Proverbs 18, verse 15, it says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." I know we have that cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But you can. Whether it be a literal dog, or for us to say, you know, oh, I'm too old to... No, we're not too old to learn. We're not too old to gain more information. We're not too old to God to continue to teach us. And if anything, the older I get as a Christian, the more I realize there's more to know. The more I realize, it's like what was told to us in college, in my orientation class. Dr. Salter, a good German man, he had come to Christ after World War II. He was actually part of Hitler's youth in Germany during World War II, and came to Christ afterwards. His family fled Germany after World War II with the rise of communism. And he came to know Christ as his Savior. And so he had a nice German accent to him as he spoke, had that German air about him, but a very kind man. But he noted in talking to us in orientation in college that colleges, universities, are a great repository of knowledge. Said, freshmen come in thinking that they know everything. And the seniors leave realizing they know nothing. the more we learn from God in His Word, the more I realize I don't know a lot. And yet, there's still more to learn. I know I've mentioned it often, but again, it holds true here. We read through the Scriptures every year. Been doing this for, you know, whatever your time limit, X number of years. And it still astounds me that on a particular day, I read the passage and God turns a light bulb on and says, aha, see the truth here? And I say, yes. Wow, thank you, Lord. But I've read that passage on this day, for me specifically, for the last 28 years. On March 22nd, I've read those passages. I read it there last year. Did I see it? No. But I saw it today. But it was there last year, yes. It was there 26 years ago, yes. But the truth that I needed today, I glean from it. And God gives it. And it, to me, prompts me and encourages me to keep going. There's more here. Yes, it's a finite book. It doesn't grow from year to year. There's been no book added. You know, okay, now that you've read it 26 times, your 27th year, I'm going to add a whole new book here for you to start taking in. No. But it is such a wealth of truth that God has for us that He just keeps teaching us. It's unfathomable. It's unsearchable. We can't reach the depths of it. We can't reach the other side of it. As try as we might, we can't. But it encourages us to keep going because there's more. Yes, you did this this year. Great. Start over again. I've got more for you this coming year. Because that's who our God is. And so we get it. We seek it out. Chapter 15, verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. He gives us a contrast here. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Which kind of begs the question, which one are we? The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. And we often see that. I mean, just get online. Have a social media account. And watch the feed. Let the algorithms do their work and show you stuff. I see a bunch of foolishness. And people are feeding on it. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. We are eager to learn. Chapter 10, verse 14, the wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Again, he gives us this contrast here. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And lastly, as we come, we're eager to learn. We'll catch this next point next week. Chapter 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. How true these truths are as we see someone punished. Is the simple made wise? We certainly hope so, but gives us a chance to become wise. That's what happens to that kind of life, that kind of circumstances. Do I want to live that way? Maybe not. And we can put anything there, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be alcoholism, whether it be infidelity. We see the consequences of sin. We see it in real time. And it should be a warning to us. When we see that punishment, the simple is made wise. I mean, I am thankful personally of seeing some of these things in my own life growing up as a child and realizing, okay, that's not something that I necessarily need to follow after. My uncle is drunk. He walks into the house after being out, goes through the kitchen. We're sitting at the kitchen table as a fifth, sixth grader. Grandma has a metal cabinet by the door that goes on into the rest of the house. And my uncle thinks it's a person. And he's right-handed, I'm left-handed, so I kind of odd way to do this, but he just gives it a nice belt to the gut and tells him, you know, get out of here. Got my attention. Why did Uncle Kenneth think that was a person? Because he was drunk, couldn't see straight. Maybe I shouldn't drink. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. The simple is made wise. We learn from those others, and we've gone over. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. We'll pick this up. Yes, next week we've got our Palm Sunday, so we'll have our Sunday school hour. Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the book of Proverbs. All of these principles, these truths that You have laid down for us. Help us to follow the admonition, the encouragement of Solomon. Father, it's at times hard to fathom. This was 3,000 years ago. That He laid forth these truths. Truths that are still practical, relevant, needful for us in our day. Because truth is truth. Father, help us to see them brought into our lives. So that we may live to bring honor and glory to You. Father, encourage our hearts as we look forward to the morning service. As we lift up our voices to You, and Father, as we give back that which You have so freely and graciously given to us, and Father, especially in the time in Your Word again, challenge our hearts, keep everyone safe today, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.